Father, we thank you, Lord, for the testimonies and the good things that we have heard said about you from our brethren here this morning. It rejoices our hearts. We give you glory and praise. As we share the word now, as always, let that word shine the light into our hearts in the name of Jesus. Glorify yourself in the message of the Lord and let everyone be edified to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, welcome again, everyone. Let me get to the message, a quick one for today. I want to talk about the past, the present, and the future. We got those three time dimensions, so to speak, past, present, and future. You know, we can only be in one of these dimensions at a time. God can, and he's in all three. But we can only be in one. And you guessed it, you can only be in the present. You cannot be in the past, and you cannot be in the future. And I remember, and I've shared this funny story before, you know, there was some day that I was with a friend, and I was a young man, and I think we were in college, and it was very close to midnight, and then he looked and said, "Oh, you know, we're almost in tomorrow." You know, and I said, "No, you will never be in tomorrow." And he said, "Why?" "In a few minutes we'll be in tomorrow." I said, "No, when the 2 minutes comes, it'll be today." Praise God. It's always today. You know, and I heard people say, you know, also at the end of the year, say, "Oh, we're almost in next year." No, you will never be in next year. When that next year rolls around, it will still be this year. It's always today. Now, when we're looking at it today, it looks like it's tomorrow. But when you get there, it'll be today. And, you know, so like today right now, yesterday is already past. And tomorrow, you know, we're looking at it as tomorrow, but when you get there, it'll be today. But for Jesus, for the Lord, the Bible says that he's in the same, he's in all three dimensions at the same time. Jesus Christ, the same. You know, it isn't the same for him, whether it's past, whether it's present, whether it's future, whether we call it yesterday, that we call it today, or whether we call it tomorrow. It's all the same to him. You know, and he's in those dimensions all at once. I mean, for him, there's another dimension. It's called eternal. And the eternal brings it all together. But for the rest of us, we're only in one dimension at a time. Now, for the prophet, a prophet, they can go into some dimensions. They can even go into dimension of the past. That's right. The prophetic, you know, can go, and even the, you know, the gift of God like that can go into that, you know, and we've seen prophets in the past in the scriptures. I mean, they went in that realm and God showed them great things that happened in the past and they were able to bring it out, you know, and they spent days with the Lord and bringing it out like Moses, you know. I mean, how did Moses know what happened in Genesis? How the Lord created all this? Was he there? Of course not. You know, but being a prophet, God can take them into that dimension. You know, take them to the dimension of the past. They can see things and God can show them what happened. You know, and they can bring it out for our benefit. And God can also take them into a dimension of the future and stuff like that. I mean, they can oscillate, you know, in those dimensions because God wants to show something, you know, but what they are getting, even when God takes them into the past, what they are getting is a drop of God's knowledge. That's really all they're getting. God will, you know, peel the veil back a little and they can look at it. Now, God can also peel the veil back a little and we can look at the future. Now, the Holy Spirit, he can do that for any one of us. You don't have to be a prophet because Jesus promised that in John chapter 16 and verse 13. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, even the Spirit of truth, it will guide you into all truth, you know, and so forth, you know. But he will also, and show you things to come. You know, so for a moment, you can unite with the Holy Spirit. He can show you the end game or the end result of what you're praying for. You know, when you have faith like that, you know, that's how the Lord taught me that scripture. You know, I always look at scripture in some realm of faith, you know. So I say, oh, the Holy Spirit can show me things to come. So the Holy Spirit can already show me the result to my prayer, you know. And so when he does that, then I latch my faith towards that. The result of my prayer is an answer of peace. God's already going to give it to me. The Holy Spirit can show you that. And then you can latch into that. And in a way, every one of us can walk in the prophetic like that, because God can peel back. And faith, there's a dimension of faith that can pierce the veil of time, even dispensations of time. Faith, by faith, you can pierce that veil. There are some veils of time that people couldn't cross. Even Jesus said, look, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, Matthew 15, talking to the Syrophoenician woman, said, I can't do that. You know, I'm only, you know, I can't give children's bread to dogs. You know, there was a veil of time that, you know, you couldn't cross. Not just yet. You know, had to go first to Israel, you know, before he went, you know. But this woman, by tremendous faith, she pierced the veil. You know, it didn't matter to her. And she said, look, I may be not qualified for the bread, but, you know, the crumbs that fall from that table, glory to God, she wouldn't be denied. And by faith, she pierced the veil, even into, you know, the future. But Jesus said it wasn't time. You know, right now it's for the Jews. It's not time for the Gentiles. Jesus said, well, whatever. You know, she, you know, not the full bread, you know, just the crumbs are enough. And she pierced that veil. By faith, you can do that. So, and when you have tremendous faith, you can even pierce into the veil of the future. There are some things that people by faith we've seen in the Bible that did things that they were not supposed to, like David. And Jesus told the story in Matthew chapter 12, also Mark chapter 2, he told the story. When they said, well, you know, you can't do these things on the Sabbath. Jesus said, really? Have you not read what David did when he went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar the priest and did take of the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, but for the priest only? And not only did he eat it, he also gave it to others that were with him. So by faith, David pierced the veil. You know, you have all these veils that you can come in here, the compartments. You know, only the priests can come in here, only the Levites can come in here, and then the other compartment, only the high priest can go in there and all of that. And every one of you got to stay either in the outer court or you got to stay over here and so on and so forth. But if you have tremendous faith, you can pierce all those veils, you know, and they did in the past. But today, those veils have been removed. In Matthew chapter 27, we see that when Christ hung upon the cross, and he gave up the ghost. At the moment of his giving up the ghost, we're told that the temple veil was rent in twain from top to bottom, signifying that that way into the holiest was now open to everyone. And nobody needs to be caught behind the veil anymore. There was always the veil of sin consciousness. There was also the veil of self-righteousness and all of those things. But, you know, we don't need that anymore. The veil's being rent. Now we have access. Hallelujah. Matthew 27 and verse 51. You know, and, you know, when Jesus cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost in verse 50. And the next verse says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from top to the bottom, and so on and so forth. Even the dead could not stay dead. Many of the graves were opened. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves. You know, they, you know, even Jesus' death alone pierced the future, pierced the veil of the future. It wasn't quite time for the resurrection, you know, of the dead, but even, you know, by him, you know, crossing the line of light and darkness, because Jesus was all light and he had to be made darkness for us. And by God putting the sins of the world on him, turning the he who was perfect light to darkness, everything else revolted. You know, he said, this is not right. Can't do that. You know, even the son revolted. He was ashamed. The son was ashamed for 3 hours. You know, the graves revolted and everything just revolted. Praise God. Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood, you know, began to cause a shift and a shaking and different things, you know. But really what he was doing is bringing things back to where they used to, where they should have been in the first place. But it seemed like he was turning everything upside down. But he was really trying to make things right side up. You know, his death, you know, realigned everything to the way God wanted it. Powerful stuff. But let's get back to this. The past is the past, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot do anything about it. It's gone. And everybody has a past. There is not a single person alive, you know, that did not have a past or does not have a past. If you're living, you had a past, you know, and even the dead, they had a past before they died. Yesterday is the past. Yesteryears are the past. Can't do anything about that. And some of you have heard me say this before. You can't live in the past, folks. You know, that's the problem with a lot of people. We're living the past. That's not going to help you. You can't bemoan the past. You know, you can't feel sorry for yourself because of the past. All of that is not going to work. God does not deal with us, you know, according to our past. He deals with you according to now. You know, your past may have been full of all kinds of things, you know, may have been full of pain, sorrow, grief, distress, failure, anguish, disappointment, sickness, poverty, even sin. And unrighteousness, you know, might have been in your past, but that was then. That was the past. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. The scripture that I learned first when I was instructed in the way of truth to give my life to Christ. That was the scripture back then. You know, and I learned that, look, if you're in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so I tell people, take your finger off that rewind button. That's a punchline for today. Take your finger off that rewind button. People are constantly rewinding. You remember the days of the reel tapes and so forth, like cassette and, you know, VHS tapes, and people are constantly rewinding. No, can't do anything about that. And I say to people also, if you rewind at all, rewind it once and erase it. Hallelujah. Because that's what God said. He said, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed. Hallelujah. Blotted out your sins for my own sake, and I will remember your transgressions no more. You know, so, you know, don't remind God of what he doesn't remember. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, that's something else, another lesson for us to learn. Don't try to remind God of what he himself does not remember. You know, I will remember your sins no more. That's what he said. Now, so that was the past. So let's leave the past alone. You know, and even, you know, the everything that was in the past that you might have been not so proud of, ashamed of, and everything. This is how Jesus deals with the past. You know, in the moment, he deals with your past right now. But he gives you a hope for the future. In John chapter 8, they brought a woman caught in the middle of adultery. But when she was standing in front of Christ in the moment, the Lord said to her, neither do I condemn you for all those things. However, here is the new way forward. Hallelujah. You know, forget the past, but here is the way forward. Now, God, when dealing with you in the moment, when he cleanses you of your past, he shows you the way forward. You know, now that's, we're talking about the cloak of righteousness, the linen of righteousness and so forth. You know, from filthy rags to righteousness. That's what he does. Now, let's talk about other things too. You know, other things in our lives, you know, things may not have been so well. you know, in the past and so forth, you know. Yeah, you know, you may have been despondent yesterday. That was yesterday. Today is a new day. Glory to God. You know, I mean, if you wake up in the morning and you just feel gloomy and everything, you know, look, shake yourself from the dust. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. Loose thyself from the bands around your neck, thou captive daughter of Zion. Seems like God's always talking to women, you know, because they, you know, they just have so much going on, you know. Loose yourself from the bands around your neck. Snap out of it, the Lord said. Glory to God. Shake yourself. Don't, you know, look, don't let anyone or anything or yourself even put any more yoke around your neck. What was in the past is in the past. Leave the past in the past. And when we covered the wisdom series, we did about that. We talked about that, the pillars of wisdom. We talked about in prudence, you will never. And I gave the law of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I called it, you know, I called it like that. I said, you'll never be better, you know, than your past, unless you move beyond the past. Whether that past was filled with successes or filled with failures. Either way, if it was filled with failures and you are reliving those failures, then you will never be better than that. If it was filled with success and you are just resting on those success, you will never gain another success. You got to use the past as a springboard for greater things, even in the areas of success. Great people in life that achieve many things, you know, gifted people that are innovators and so forth, that come out with good things. It's because they are constantly developing and trying to get better. You know, they do something, they improve on it and so forth. That's how knowledge increases. God already said that will be the case. You know, so that's how you deal with your past versus your present. Today is the day that the Lord has made. And while it is yet called today, you know, there are many scriptures about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 tells us that now is the day of salvation. Right now is the day of salvation. Today. In fact, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 16, you might remember this when we did the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 3:16 and Hebrews 4:7, they talk about today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You know, we're talking about today. Never mind yesterday. The best thing we can do about yesterday is to glean from the past, learn from the past, gain strength from previous testimonies, to apply to the present conflict, just like David did. He gleaned strength from the testimony against the lion and against the bear to strengthen himself for the present conflict against Goliath. So we can gain strength from the past. We can also give glory to God for what he has already done in the past, knowing that he which did that in the past is able to do that now. But what we do not want to do is dwell on anything negative in the past. Nor do we want to dwell on even anything that we thought we've already achieved. For Paul said, look, I count not myself to have apprehended. But I keep pressing forward in Philippians chapter 3. I press toward. I'm constantly pressing. You know, pressing and constantly pressing. You know, so that's what we must do. All the time. Now, what is the future? What does the future hold? I don't know. Well, one thing I know is, you know, there are some things that God has promised in the Word of God. We can, you know, we can read certain things that he has said in the Word. Holy Spirit can bring certain things to us. But we've not been in the future. Nobody's been there yet. But God has been. Hallelujah. So now, because God also has perfect knowledge of everything, even foreknowledge of everything. See, he can declare the end from the beginning because he already knows everything, you know. And just think of this way. If you had a photographic memory as a human being, if you can see something once and you never forget it to the last detail, if you can read a book and you never forget and you can remember what's on page 47, line 12, you know, in a 300-page book, you can remember somebody can open the book to you and say, what's on page 53, line 47, and you can remember it. I mean, if you can do all those things, that's just imagine that. That's God. You know, God has that perfect knowledge of everything. You know, and I know that even myself, you know, I mean, I don't have that kind of knowledge, but I've watched some movies that I liked over and over and over and over again. You watch it enough times, then, you know, you're almost able to predict what that person is going to say because you've seen it play before you many times. So you say, and if your friend is about to watch the movie, they might say, don't tell me, but you can tell them, you know, you can say, he's going to say that and he's going to do that. This is going to happen because you've seen it so many times and you remember it. Well, God doesn't have to remember, you know, he knows it all. He doesn't need to struggle to remember is what I mean. He knows it all at once, at the same time. He knows everything. Now, God's foreknowledge is what he has. I don't. But by my faith in the God that is already in tomorrow, which is my future, I can approximate the same divine nature. You know, his nature is God foreknowledge. I don't, but I got faith. To me, faith is to me, if you use it right, what foreknowledge is to God. That's exactly right. Because faith calls those things that are not as though they are, just like God can do. You know, so by faith, we can move from the past, live a victorious life in the present, and hope for a better tomorrow. Hallelujah. There's always a better tomorrow. The other day, I talked about prisoners of hope. You know, there's always a better future that can be. Hallelujah. Here's what God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 13. You know, he said to Abraham, and you know, I've referred to this multiple times. From the place where you are, Genesis 13 and verses 14 and 15. You know, after he and Lot had separated. And so, you know, God said to him this remarkable thing. He said, from where you are right now, you know, then I want you to look ahead. Look this way, look that way, look the other way, and so forth. From the place where you are, you can't do it from yesterday, but in the moment, right now, from right now, God says to you, look, you know, expand your horizon. Glory to God. Look forward. I mean, look to the left, east, west, north, and south. It's exactly how he said it. For all the land that you can see. Hallelujah. If you can visualize it, I'll give it to you. If you can see it, I'll give it to you. Now, if you can somehow, you know, increase your horizon. A horizon is an imaginary line where it seems as if the sky meets the ground. And it's a mathematical formula for it, actually, but I don't want to get into it. But it is relative to height. You know, if you go higher, your horizon increases. If you're at the sea level, you can only see so far. If you go up to a 100-story building, then you can see even further out, and so on and so forth. You know, so by elevating yourself in faith through the word of God, you can expand your horizon. And anything that you can see, does not the scripture say in Ephesians 3 and 20 that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think? If you can think it, if you can see it, if you can imagine it, and you should think it. Remember, yesterday we talked about thinking positive things. You should think it, you should imagine it, and God can do it and exceed it. Now, so, but you got to think it. You got to dream it. You know, now you got to visualize it. That dream big things for the future. Why little things? You know, Bible even said that even for Jesus himself, because of the pearl of great price, he could visualize that pearl of great price. Because of the pearl of great price, he gave up everything. And he, you know, he went for that prize. Hallelujah. And he got it too. That's why we are here today. You know, so for the prize that was set before him, he could visualize the prize. Because of that, he despised whatever was going on right now, even the shameful death of the cross, you know, all the mockings, you know, of sinners around him and so forth. You know, he despised all of that. He didn't even bother with it because he set his eyes on the prize. Hallelujah. Now, you know, that's what we do for the future. No matter what's going on today, you know, or what went on yesterday, we can live in today's a victorious life, you know, by latching onto the promises of God. But we can also look for a greater outlook for the future. Now, there are many times in the Bible that God used to speak to them about tomorrow, you know, and I often wondered, well, I mean, the Lord explained it to me. Why didn't he just say today already? Why do you always have to say tomorrow? You know, whenever God wants to do some great thing, you know, he would tell them about tomorrow. You know, but he would also tell them today and he would tell them about tomorrow. For instance, in Exodus chapter 14, we see when they were at the Red Sea in verse 13, you know, Moses said unto them, you know, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See, because the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see them again forever no more. That means by tomorrow, you won't see them. But today, God's going to give you the victory. And sometimes God will tell them, like in the story of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat chapter 20, you know, the Lord said to them, tomorrow, go ye down to meet them. You'll find them at the, you know, wilderness of Tekoa and all of that, you know, and so forth. And you see, you know, you meet them here and so forth. Tomorrow, the Lord will fight for you. Why not today? Well, in that particular story, we see an element of instruction in what to do when you are waiting for tomorrow. Now, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. This is what you do when you are waiting for tomorrow's victory that God pronounced for you today. Just like we consider that scripture, there shall be a performance of those things that were spoken to her. Blessed is she that believed. Well, there shall be a performance is future. But you got to believe today. You know, so Jesus said, you know, and I mean, the Bible tells us that, you know, he told them many times, you know, the things that you desire, Matthew 11, I was talking to them in verse 24 and so forth. When you pray, you believe because faith is now. And if you can believe now, all you have is really, really now. You don't know, you can't get into tomorrow just yet. But by faith, walking with the Holy Spirit, showing you the end result, showing you the answer of peace already. By faith, you can unite with the Holy Spirit. And you can say, you know, I see, you know, God working in my favor. Hallelujah. I see all things turning around in my favor. You can sing that song already. But Jesus put it to you this way. What things soever you desire, which is for future, when you pray, which is now, you believe. So at the time you pray, you believe. But let's pick up a quick lesson here in the story of Jehoshaphat. This is the one that I want to focus on today. In this story, you know, we see their enemies come up against them. Three times the company, Moab, Mount Seir, and Ammon, and all of that. And they were huge company that came up against them. And they couldn't do anything, you know, against those people. But when the word of the Lord came to them, read the story in 2 Chronicles 20. I'm not reading it today. I'm just going to paraphrase it. You know, all that God would tell them through a young man that the Spirit of the Lord came upon, and he prophesied to them, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, see the salvation of the Lord, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, and be not dismayed," he told them. And here's what he said. And you can read it in verse 17 of 2 Chronicles 20. "Tomorrow, go ye out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Well, he didn't say today. Now, if they had gone out on the day, on that today, they would have been smitten before their enemies. Because the word of instruction said tomorrow. Not today, but tomorrow. Now, why tomorrow? Why not today already? Well, because between today and tomorrow, this is the lesson I want to bring out right now. Between the present and the future, knowing that you've already, you know, moved beyond the past. So you move beyond the past. Now you are in the present. The word of the Lord comes to you today for encouragement concerning your future. Hallelujah. And for your future, he says tomorrow, which is future, go down against them. And, you know, so you say, well, why not today? Well, because today, while you are waiting for the promise for tomorrow, here's what you do. You do what Jehoshaphat did. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So today, if you hear the word of promise for tomorrow, what do you do today? You worship. Hallelujah. So that's why God gives you opportunity to worship. Prepare your heart and worship. While you're waiting for the future, today, which is your present, you worship. That's what you do. You don't allow despondency. You don't allow, you know, gloominess. You don't allow heaviness. But you worship. You say every praise to my God. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit already showed you the end result. And you worship. This man, he already saw the end of the law. The Lord told him, look, the Lord's going to fight for you in this battle. So, well, what did he do? He worshipped. And when he finished worshipping, as if that was not enough, he said, look, I need some people that know how to praise the beauty of holiness. And he looked to the sons of Asaph and all the people that knew how to do these things, how to work those instruments according to the commandment of David. I mean, he found them and said, look, here's what we're going to do. I want you to make the praise of the Lord glorious. Hallelujah. I mean, may God give us leaders like that and know how to direct the people to praise the Lord. I mean, my goodness. This man, he was king, but in this right now, he's acting like a priest, telling everybody, you got to worship. You got to praise the Lord, you know, and wow. And so he got everybody together that knew how to praise the beauty of holiness. And he said, look, he was also captain, you know, of the host himself, you know, as a king, you lead your people to battle. But he said, look, I'm going to divide and put the army here in the back. Let's put these praise worshipers in the front. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's a foolish thing to do in the eyes of the world. How in the world would you put the skilled people, I mean, those who know the rules of engagement, you're going to put them in the back and put the silly people with tambourines in their hands in the front? Absolutely. Because you have the word. The word already said tomorrow the Lord will fight for you. So, you know, the fighting people, those who are trained in fighting, you know, they can go to the back. Right now, we're just going to rejoice and praise the Lord. And as they went out and praised the beauty of holiness, as they began to sing and to praise, glory to God, and to say, you know, the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And as they began to do that, the Bible says that the Lord set ambushments against their enemies. Company number one, Ammon and Moab, you know, they gathered together against, you know, Mount Seir, and they destroyed them. And when they destroyed that one, then they turned against each other and destroyed each other, you know, and all of that. Meanwhile, these people are just praising the beauty of holiness. Glory to God. So that's what you do today when you are waiting for tomorrow. That's what you do in the present when you are waiting for the future. Now, that's all. I'm going to leave it right there for today. That's all I'm going to say today, because we want, you know, I want to spend some prayer and to pray some things for you concerning tomorrow and concerning the future, you know. But here's another scripture, a couple more scriptures that I will just give you. I want to get to this prayer, but the Lord is saying, you know, slow down, read the scripture. All right. So, you know, I want to give you a couple more scriptures and then we are going to pray. Remember I told you how the Lord always said tomorrow? I want to give you a couple more scriptures about the promise for tomorrow, which is the future. Elisha, the prophet, in 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, by this time tomorrow," there was tremendous famine in the land and things were just so hard. You know, nobody could get any supply. Not your money couldn't buy anything. Money was worthless. Everything was cut off. But he said, tomorrow, there will be a surplus. Now, that wasn't today, but that was tomorrow. Now, it gives you opportunity between now and tomorrow, between the present and the future, to believe the Lord. Well, there was one man that didn't believe, but of course, you know the story. He didn't get to, he saw it, but he didn't get to eat of it, you know. And also in the book of Exodus, many times when they were in Egypt, the Lord gave them many things, promises about, you know, tomorrow. Hallelujah. You know, so God will tell them, like Exodus 8 and 23, "And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." He told them. Why tomorrow? Well, you know, it gives you an opportunity between today and tomorrow. You know, you can either, if God pronounces judgment for tomorrow, you have the opportunity today to repent. To fall before your face, I mean, to fall on your face before the Lord and to, you know, cry out to his, for his mercy. There is not a single person that will cry out to God's mercy, for God's mercy, that God will reject. You know, God will never turn a deaf ear to the cry for mercy. But sometimes when God pronounces judgment, people just take it like that. And they, well, it'll fall upon them because they didn't cry to the Lord. Also in Exodus chapter 9. You know, verse 5 and verse 18, he tells them the same thing, always telling them about tomorrow. Hallelujah. And the Lord appointed a set time saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. You know, why tomorrow? Well, because, you know, today you can prepare your heart for that deliverance that God has promised tomorrow. You know, so today, hallelujah. You prepare. Exodus 9 and verse 18. "Behold, tomorrow, about this time, will I cause it to rain a very grievous rain." And many times throughout the whole scenario in Egypt, you know, I'll leave it there. There are many other verses, but he always talked about that. He would give them something that he was going to do, some hope, you know, for tomorrow, how he's going to come against their enemies for them and so forth. But it was always tomorrow because he wanted them today to worship. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But Jehoshaphat showed us how to do it. You worship the Lord. Now, let me give you a promise in Psalm 102. And we're going to begin to pray with this one. Psalm 102 and verse 13. "Thou shalt arise, O God, and have mercy upon Zion." Well, the Lord will arise and have mercy upon every one of you that's in the room. Now, if you are overwhelmed, if you are overburdened, if you are distressed, or if you were despondent, that was yesterday. That was in the past. Today, there's a word of hope for you for tomorrow. But what do you do today? Worship. Praise the Lord while you're waiting. "The Lord will arise and have mercy upon you, for the set time, the time to favor you has come." How many of you believe that this year is your year of favor? 2023, I sought the Lord for many days at the end of last year. have a word for the church this year, at least our local church, you know, and so forth. And as many as have an ear can hear it. And the Lord said, emerge was the word. Emerge. Hallelujah. And I began to teach that since the beginning of this year, how we must emerge not only in physical things, but also spiritual things. How we must emerge into the sons of God this year. I began to also teach how the butterfly emerges from the ugly cocoon. And that's God's put into motion this year. Now, if you believe it, and if you're waiting, and God has even given point blank specific individual promises for some of you. And that's future. But while you're waiting for it, in the present, you begin to praise the Lord. You begin to praise the Lord. You begin to worship like Jehoshaphat did. So let's pray. I'm going to pray over everyone that's in the room today. If you are waiting for the consolation of God's promise upon your life, there was a man that said he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Well, he did see it too, Simeon. And when he did, he said, now let thy servant depart in peace. But my eyes have seen your salvation, which you promised. Now, if you're waiting for some promise, well, blessed is she that believed. For the Lord, he will perform. There will be a performance of those things that were spoken to you. God may not have given you a time for it, but he spoke it and it will come to pass. So in the meantime, while you're waiting for the future, let's begin to praise the Lord. I invite everyone, you know, to recognize the need for this lesson. You know, that one, here's a summary of what we said today. One, leave the past alone. It's gone. Can't do anything about that. You know, if anything, learn from it and use it for now. If anything, praise him for what he's done and use that to garner strength for the present. Now, the present, you are in the moment. Tomorrow is not here yet. And when you get there, it will still be today. I said that already. So while it is yet today, and it is always today, for the living, it is always today. While it is today, it's today because you can't go back to yesterday and you are not in tomorrow. But while it is today, you believe God and you praise him for what he has promised for the future, which is tomorrow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, wherever you are, if you are in the room, you might be in your office, you might be anywhere. If you can, I want you to lift your hands up and just praise him. Hallelujah. Just praise him. Lift your hands up. Me, look, I give up. I surrender, you know. Like the little kid that wants to be carried by the parent or the mother, they come and they lift their hand up, you know, which says, Lord, carry me. Carry me is what they say to the parent. You ever seen a child that comes to the parent that wants to be carried that has their hands in their back and their head bowed down? No. Their head is lifted up and their hands are up like this because they want to be carried. Hallelujah. And Jesus took one of those little children and set them in the midst. Said, look, you better be like this little child if you want to get in there. So let's lift up our hands up this morning. And let's believe the Lord. And let's say, Lord, carry me. Hallelujah. And even now, I praise you for what you have already promised. Father, I pray over this room right now. For all that you have already promised for your people. Individual promises, collective promises that you have given to us. I pray in the name of Jesus. That while we are waiting for the fulfillment, the Bible says, though it tarry, wait for it. It will not tarry long. And in the meantime, may we receive the garment of praise to praise the Lord and to worship. Now, the garment of grace, it'll blow that spirit of heaviness away like nothing I know. You know, the garment of praise will get rid of that spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. The spirit of moodiness, the spirit of heaviness that comes in sometimes, switch it into the gear of praise and see God do wonders for your soul. Lord, we praise you for what's coming. The promises that are coming in the future for us, for every one of us. And this year, 2023, ye shall emerge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Emerge into the blessings of God. Emerge into the promises of God that he has promised for you. And let the Lord be glorified. And God does all these things that he might be glorified. Father, we thank you and we give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.